Take your Bibles and open to Matthew 28 in your pew Bibles. That is page 706. Matthew 28, we'll be starting at verse 1 going to 10. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he is risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful gift and your victory in your name.
Wow. Choir, what an amazing, amazing job. Thank you for sharing your gifts and talents with us today, for that very stirring anthem. Young people, thank you. Thank you for your willingness to share in that drama that was up here. We so much appreciate the way that the Lord has used you in that fashion. God bless you. What a moving performance. We are truly a blessed congregation. And we are blessed because of the people and all that you represent in all that you do. If you have your Bibles with you, I would like you to please open up once again to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of whoopee. I had a fella that came up to me. I happened to be in TJ's last night, and there was a gentleman that came up to me and he said, "Aren't you the pastor out there at Faith Church?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "What in the world is that sign about?" And I said, "Well, in case you haven't heard, Jesus has raised from the dead." And that's a whoopee moment. He said, "Oh," he said, "now it makes sense." And I asked him, I said, "Do you know Jesus?" He said, "Yes, I do." And I said, "Well, whoopee." And he just kind of smiled at that. And as he left, as he got to the door, he turned and he said, "Pastor, I'm going to remember that." You know, folks, too often we don't put whoopee in our lives. Too often we just kind of go through motions, if you will. And you know, how many times in the past week has this Bible story, this account of Jesus Christ, been read in our private times and in our homes? And we've not used the imagination that God gave us to try to put ourselves in that moment. And how would we have responded? The thing that the youth did this morning, that drama that was presented, was just kind of a reminder that, you know what? This experience, even though there are those doubtings and those questions that we at times go through, and even those times when we say, "Why, Jesus?" and "Where are you, Jesus?" and those kinds of things. Even in spite of those things, Jesus comes in a very unique way, and He speaks to us in a very real way, and He lets us realize, "I am here. And I love you, and I care about everything that touches your life." And we just kind of get that whoopee moment. Sometimes it's a moment of real rejoicing and shouting. And I have to tell you, when we were out at in Circleville, Ohio, we worked at a Nazarene church out there. And in that Nazarene church, the senior pastor of that particular church said, "Lynn," he said, "I have to take you to our Nazarene campground meeting in Columbus." He said, "It's great entertainment." And I didn't quite know what he meant. But he said, "We're going to go," and he said, "and you're going to see people who really rejoice in the Lord." And he said, and I don't mean to entertainment to be belittling. He said, "I'm not speaking that kind of entertainment." He says, "I'm talking about the entertainment of what happens when the Lord comes on the scene and people are genuinely touched in their hearts and how they respond." Now, some of it was very predictable. And they had, within that campground meeting, there would be around 1,000 people there, sometimes 1,200. Maybe it was more than that. I don't know. It's been a long time ago. My memory's not that good. But there were a lot of people there. And as soon as the music would start, there were a few, and he would kind of point them out. He says, "Now this lady over here, you watch, as soon as the first note is struck, she's going to stand with her hanky and start waving." But that's okay. And he said, this other lady, and she was towards the back, and he said, "As soon as the music starts, she won't sing, but she will get from her seat and she'll walk up and down the aisle and she will just be saying, 'You need to praise the Lord. You need to shout hallelujah. You need to, you know,' and just over and over and over." And sure enough, the music started. The lady stood and began to wave her handkerchief. And then this other lady began to walk up and down. He said, "Now this other guy over here, he's a glory walker." I don't know if you know what a glory walker is or not. But they had, at that camp meeting, they had kind of benches that you sat on. And he would stand up on the benches and he'd just go from one to the next, just jumping. All the way up and all the way back. And that one side of that end pew was always empty because everybody knew. Brother, whatever his name was going to need room. And so we were kind of watching this and kind of taken in by that experience. And then there was a guy who stood up, and this was totally unknown to the senior pastor, because he talked with me afterwards. He said, "I don't know who that guy was." But this particular guy stood up and he just began to go, "Whoopee! Whoopee! Whoopee!" And he was just excited and he just rejoiced. And that was the word that he used. "Thank you, brother." And as he would, and that has always stuck with me, because it got to be catchy. And as he began the whoopee, 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 and just be excited about that, there was another guy that would just go whoop, whoop, and he was just jumping up and down and doing that. And I'll tell you, it was very entertaining, but it was very moving. Because there was sincerity. And people were ready to worship and to participate in worship. Folks, the account that we've read in the Bible this morning is a whoopee moment. I want to share with you very quickly. And by the way, I have permission to go a little over if I need to. Where did I get that? I gave it to me. But I want to share with you very quickly these six things. Hopefully you have a bulletin. The outline is on your bulletin there. I want to share with you, who are they? What was that? Wow. Where is he? Whisk away. And then the whoopee moment. Okay? So let's look at this very quickly. And Pastor Bruce did a wonderful job of reading this passage. So I'm not going to reread it, although we'll cover some of the stuff in it. First of all, who are they? Notice the very first verse. We have two Marys, that are represented here. Neither one of them, in this account that Matthew gives, is Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay? But instead, we have Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had been a woman who had been possessed by demons. And Jesus set her in her right mind. And she was a wild woman. But when she came to a relationship with Jesus Christ, she really became what God wanted her to be. And first thing in the morning, on that resurrection day, she's on her way to the tomb. I'm going to honor him. I'm going to respect this one who changed my life. There's another Mary that is mentioned here. Some claim, and I don't know, that this particular Mary happened to have been a prostitute, and that she was the friend of Martha, who wept at the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. I don't know. Some claim that this particular Mary was a different Mary, but nonetheless, a Mary that had been changed through and through by Jesus. And these two women were headed to the tomb to respect the Christ who died for them. I think too often we head to the tomb with the thought that Jesus is dead. And we don't come expecting to find anything but dead bodies. Time for some whoopee moments. For some realization that Jesus Christ lives. That he's not dead, but that he has raised from the dead. Second, I want you to notice, what was that? Look at that second verse. It says, and behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. This is the second time that we find nature convulsing. The first time, Jesus was on the cross, and the sky grew black and the earth shook at the cry, "It is finished." Nature was rebelling against the sinfulness of man. 3 days later, we have the second tremor, but it's nature rejoicing as life infuses the body of the Christ, as the angel rolls the stone, the earth responds. Death cannot hold the God of the universe. He lives. He is risen. Nature recognized what man didn't. Here we are, created in the image of God. And yet we fail to recognize His presence far too often. I'm moving very quickly here. I want you to notice number three. I want you to notice the wow. Look at verses 3 and 4. It says, and his appearance, and it talks about the angel of the Lord descending from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And now look at this. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. They shook at his appearance and became like dead men. You know what they were saying? Whoa! That's what they were saying. The angel of the Lord appears in a garment that shines as bright as lightning and lights everything that's around it. And these guys simply cannot take standing in the presence of the heavenly. Can't happen. You see, when sinful man stands in the presence of holiness, they can't take it. The angel of the Lord appears. They fall as dead men. With that wow factor. How long has it been since you've been wowed in your soul? How long has it been since you've had that moment and that experience where you know that God has come in a very real, in a very powerful way? Can I tell you something? If you haven't seen that lately, the problem's not with God. The problem's internal. Maybe because of attitudes. Maybe because of unbelief. But God wants to wow us with His presence. Number four, I want you to notice, where is He? Look at verses 5 and 6. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for He has risen, just as He said. Come, see the place where He was lying." He was lying. He was dead. He is risen. Death could not hold Him. Remember, ladies, what did He say? 3 days and I'll rise. 3 days, my work will be accomplished. 3 days, and I'll burst forth from that tomb. Did you catch it? He's done exactly what He declared. Where is He? Well, He's not in an encasement of death. He He's broke free from that. He's not here, for he has risen. Number five, whisk away. Look at verses 7 and 8. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee, where you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the tomb and with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. Whisk away. Get out of here. Go quickly now. And you know, as I read that, I don't see them just kind of sauntering away. I don't even see them stopping to talk with neighbors on the way. I don't see them just taking this as nonchalant stuff. But instead, I see them as going, aye, aye, I am on my way and on a dead run, taking off, no matter how dignified or undignified it looked, they hit the road. They hit the path. They are going to quickly and exuberantly and excitedly share with the disciples, and as Mark pointed out, and Peter, and tell them what has taken place. What an adrenaline rush must have taken place in these women with what they saw and the task they are given. Whisk away. Go quickly now. How they must have just been filled to overflowing with joy. And then, because of their immediate response and their being where they were supposed to be, their going where they're supposed to go, they have that whoopee moment that we see in verses 9 and 10. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and they took a hold of his feet and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee. There they shall see me. You see, the angel had told them, go into Galilee, you'll see him there. Jesus tells, go to Galilee. Everyone will see me there. But the faithfulness and the passion of these two women is blessed by being the first ones to experience the touch of God. What joy must have filled their hearts. They see him. They fall at his feet. As his words penetrate their ears and penetrate their hearts, that voice that is so familiar, that they've heard teaching, that they've shared so many times with in various ways, speaks directly to them. And it's amazing. And joy filled their hearts. Whoopee. Whoopee. How long has it been since joy, real joy, filled your heart? How long has it been since you listened to the voice of God responded in simple obedience and were able to rejoice in Christ. How long since a whoopee moment struck you? We don't have nearly the whoopee moments that God wants us to have, because we don't listen to Him. We don't obey Him. We don't walk as closely as what we ought to. His voice becomes kind of clouded with the cares of the world and the struggles of this life. And so we miss the moments of intimacy with God. What's Easter about? It's about God drawing close, showing Himself to us, that He lives, that His promises are true, the life is the result. That's what Easter's about. I thank God that we have had the privilege of meeting together here today. But my prayer is that we take a moment in the presence of Christ to worship Him, to just grab Him by the feet, to respond in simple faith and obedience to whatever He asks us to do. Let's stand. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to please take your hymnals, open up to number 170. And as we sing this hymn, and we're going to sing all five verses, as we sing this hymn, as it tells the story about one day, perhaps there's someone here today that would be able to say, Easter Sunday, 2011, was my whoopee moment. It was my time when the Spirit of God spoke so clearly and so plainly that I heard Him, that I discovered real worship. If that's what you're sensing today, I'm going to ask you to step out and come as we sing number 170.